It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And we have had we've had some pretty darn nice days. I mean, it's been up above, I think somebody on Facebook said that it was 50 degrees in Bemidji this weekend. I had 47 for a high over the weekend. Otherwise, pretty darn nice. And likely to continue that way, although you all know, if you've lived here for any length of time at all, that February and March can be very, I don't know, I'm trying to search for the right word here. They can be depressing months in the sense that you're excited for spring, the days are getting longer, and then bam, you get slapped back into your seat by a minus 15 degrees and snow, and you just think, oh, it's never coming, it's never coming. But trust me, there are some amazing signs of spring coming our way, including if you're driving and looking at snowbanks this morning, notice how the sun has cut away at some of those banks and has left some icicles hanging there. I was taught in my youth that those were dragon's teeth, and so I've continued to call them dragon's teeth all these years, and they are present now. It's a reaction to increased day length and more intense sun, as the angle of the sun striking the earth is increasing in the northern hemisphere. And so those dragon's teeth are there for you to observe. The other thing, one of the other things that's happening right now that has a lot to do with sunlight, and John Zazzotta brought this to my attention several years ago, but this is the time of year when the marcescent or marcescent leaves on the oaks and ironwoods are going to start falling. So you remember from last fall, the marcescent or marcescent term refers to leaves that remain on the trees. The definition of marcescent is withered but persisting. And as I look out the window here, there's a river birch right in front of me, a black birch, and it is marcescent. The leaves are clinging to it, and I will be watching to see when they fall. Oak leaves are starting to fall kind of here and there, not all at once, but oak leaves are coming off the red oaks. And it will be a little while. The ironwoods, and if you're driving through a nice deciduous forest, look in the understory for trees that are probably mostly less than 20 to 25 feet tall and will have these dried leaves clinging to them. Mostly those are ironwoods. And they will drop their leaves just before putting out new leaf buds in April. But the interesting thing with the leaves, and especially the oak leaves that are falling off of the trees right now, is that they're going to land on the snow somewhere. And as soon as the sun hits them, they're going to warm up. And oftentimes, what John Zazzotta pointed out to me was that you can see these leaves will melt down 6 or 8 inches below the surface of the snow, and almost a perfect outline of the leaf will be melted into the snow as the leaf descends. And that's true of any object that finds its way on top of the snow. So if some yahoo has thrown something out of their car and it is dark in color, it will sink down as the sun warms it. Now, if it is, it can be dark in color, but if it is insulative, it will stand up. So you're going to get these, you're going to get two things happening out there. You're going to get some objects that are dark and the sun is going to shine on them or going to warm up and they're going to cut their way right down through the snow. And you're going to get other objects that may or may not be dark, but are made of a material that is insulative. And that will, over time, actually stand up on a pile because the snow under it won't melt. It'll prevent the snow under it from melting where the snow around it will melt. And you'll get these objects that are sort of sitting up on these little snow pillars. So lots of things to watch in terms of snow and leaves, all of that coming your way in the next couple of weeks. I had the opportunity to see or hear, actually, I heard about a sharp-shinned hawk that was in the area. And then I got a chance to see a northern goshawk this past week. And that was pretty exciting. A big bird, you know, crow-sized, raven-sized bird, broad wings. It didn't fly like a raven or a crow. It soared and kind of glided along and then flap, flap, flapped and then glided some more. And as it passed over me, I could see that its belly was sort of a barred red and white. And that told me that it was more than likely, I'm not 100% positive, but more than likely it was a juvenile goshawk. And there's a great bit of video on KAXE, KBXE season watch page that talks about the, that actually shows a picture of a northern goshawk down in the southern part of Itasca County. So maybe you've been lucky enough to see something like that yourself. Another sure sign of spring, on the 19th, I saw a big flock of crows. They flew in going northwest, and then 30 minutes later, they flew back going southeast, and then they kind of milled their way about and moved a little bit off to the northwest again. And I think that they are roosting in the area, but it's a big flock of migratory crows. And this is typically the time of year when the crows do return to northern Minnesota. There have been some crows here all winter, but now we're getting some big flocks coming in, and it's making a big difference in terms of the amount of crows that you'll see and hear. I was talking to my neighbor Marvin this past Saturday, and Marvin said, I guess it was Sunday we talked, it was Saturday that he saw a coyote crossing the fields early in the morning, and he said that the coyote stayed on top of the snow all the way across the field. And I was a little surprised, but not overwhelmingly surprised. I know that coyotes typically don't weigh much more than 40 pounds. 40 pounds is pretty big for a coyote. This coyote was able to stay up on top of the snow without any effort at all. My dog, an 80-pound black lab, has no chance of staying on top of the snow. When she and I go out for a walk, if she ventures off of the trail and into the woods, she breaks through. And even out in the fields, she's breaking through the snow and falling through. So pretty tough going for anything heavier than coyotes, I guess. We did have a nice note from one of the kids this past week, and they mentioned seeing a bobcat. And the bobcat was able to stay up on top of the snow. And, of course, part of the reason for that is that bobcats are even lighter than coyotes. And they have these giant feet that are absolutely perfectly made for walking on top of snow. So the bobcat isn't sinking and the coyote isn't sinking, but the heavier species, I'm sure all of the wolves and the dogs are sinking, unless it's been a pretty mean and thin year for wolves. Most of them are going to weigh 60 to 100 pounds and they're probably going right through. I took a trip over to Bemidji yesterday with my good friend Sam Miltich, and Sam and I had the pleasure of watching, looking at willows that were beautiful in color, and the red osier dogwoods were just startling along that strip. You see them, they'll be you're driving along, and there's a kind of an outflow of the ditch. And then beyond that, bog or swamp in some places. And in that zone between the actual swamp and the road, there's a little bit of high ground. And you'll have aspens growing in there, and you'll have some speckled alder growing in there, and you'll definitely have some red osier dogwoods growing in there. And they are absolutely scarlet right now. It's pretty hard to look at them without just being bowled over by how bright red they are. So check out the red osier dogwoods and the willows. They're definitely changing. The bald eagles have returned to our nest and are back and hanging out, and we are excited about that. Marvin, it was my neighbor, said that there's an eagle cam of an eagle's nest in the northern part of the state of Minnesota that actually has a bird already sitting on eggs, which seems pretty early to me because it's normally the first part of April, late March or early April, before I see the eagle sitting on eggs in our nest. So we'll keep an eye out and we will let you know what we see. And of course, we're counting on you to tell us what's going on in your neighborhood as well. I was curling this weekend and there was a group from Wadena that were up here. And one of the curlers from Wadena reported seeing robins in Wadena. And, of course, we got a report from Northfield where the kids said that there were flocks of robins in Northfield. And so the robins are gradually moving north. Now, in an average year, the robins will find their way to Grand Rapids around the 24th of March. But it can be much earlier. In 2012, it was on the 6th of March. And on 2013, it was on the 10th of April, so there's quite a bit of variation. They come when it's warm. It needs to be about 37 degrees for robins to be comfortable, and they will move north when those temperatures are achieved. So we will be watching for robins. You might see a robin here in northern Minnesota this time of year. Chances are it's a bird that is spending the winter here. Some do, not many, but some do. It gives them an advantage for territory in the spring, but the real influx of robins won't come until probably mid to late March, depending on the weather. And how I know that I've seen my first robin is like within a day or two, I'll see another one or two or three more, or, you know, there'll be an influx. You'll be like, oh, there's a robin. And a couple days later, you'll be, oh, there's two robins. And the other thing that always tells me that the robins are back is that I hear them singing. And once I hear them singing, I know for sure that they are migrators and that they're in the area. The paper birch and the speckled alder are still throwing seeds. You can still find seeds on top of the snow. We've had some unbelievably nice weather. The air temperature was up in the upper 40s in this area, 50 in Bemidji. And the red squirrels are busy chasing one another around, getting ready for springtime and courtship. And finally, and probably most importantly, on the trembling aspen in my yard, the one that I watch assiduously, is the first furry buds were out on Sunday morning. Monday morning. Yesterday morning, I got up and I took my binoculars and I went out and I searched the tree and I found, fewer than 10 buds, but I could definitely see furry buds, whereas in this past week or two, I've been watching and really haven't seen a thing. But the first furry buds are out on the trembling aspens. These are akin to pussy willows. They're called aments. They're the first, usually male flowers. And you almost need binoculars to see them. They're pretty hard to make out without some kind of magnification. And if you think that the aspen trees in your yard are looking kind of swollen, you can take a picture of them with your phone and then blow the picture up and you may be able to see it as well. But first furry buds, the average date for that is the 15th of March. Last year, it was the 18th of February. It's been as early as the 28th of January, and it's been as late as April 14th in 2013. So it has quite a bit of variability, but if you're interested in signs of spring, there are flowers on the aspens. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Stay tuned. We'll be back and talk to you again next week.
You can sign up for a phenology podcast or catch it at our website, kaxe.org, along with the student phenology reports from earlier this morning.